The Lord had put healing on my heart tonight. It's like if the devil's fighting in a certain place, look to the word in that place because it builds us up. It stirs up our faith. Amen. And I'm just going to do a little bit of a short lesson, and then I'm going to open it up for testimonies, healing testimonies. So if God brings something up in your heart, just be ready to share it. And Bill and Connie, I do want one of you to share about Mr. Abbott tonight. I was going to have you do it on Sunday, and I missed it. So we'll have Bill share that. And testimonies are just awesome because they bring life to us, and they stir up faith in our heart. Amen. From 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it talks about in listing the gifts of the Spirit, he lists the gifts of healing, and it's plural. There's various gifts of healing. Divine healing is the supernatural power of God causing an immediate or gradual healing. Divine healing is not natural healing. Our bodies are created to heal themselves from many things, such as a skin knee or sometimes adjustments in our posture, diet, or exercise can affect the natural process of the body to heal itself. And we are to care for our natural bodies. We're to take care of ourselves. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God has bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." So we are to take care of our bodies in the best way we can. We are to listen to the Lord and respect the body, knowing that it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. God lives in here. 1 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." It's a whole lot better to be in health than to get healed. So better to just stay healthy. But praise God, when we do get sick, there's provision for God's healing. Amen. There's seven things that our bodies need to be healthy. We need 8 cups of water every day. That's something that everybody needs to drink water. We need 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. We need to eat wholesome live food. Live living food is medicine to our bodies. It helps heal us. It's best to avoid processed sugar, artificial sweeteners. And everybody has a little bit of a different body chemistry. There's general rules we just should all follow, but we need to listen to the Holy Ghost. God, what? How do you want me eating? How do you want me to take care of my body? It's important that we exercise. It's good to take supplements. It's good to de-stress. You know, we live sometimes in a very busy time, and it's easy to get stressed. And there's one natural way to de-stress is just to relax, take deep breaths. But another way is to worship God. You know, when we get lost in worship, it's just like all the stress just drains out of us. It's just really awesome to be in the presence of the Lord. It de-stresses us. And it's also important to detoxify. You know, we eat things in food that we don't know about, and sometimes we eat things that's not good for us. And there's natural things that can help detoxify the body, like lemon and water, beets, dark berries, kale, greens, carrots. There's just things that help, that are natural cleansing agents for our body. So it's good to eat whole as we can and eat to make our bodies healthy. The medical practice enhances or impedes the natural process of healing using chemical or mechanical intervention. such as a chiropractor making adjustments, or a doctor setting a broken leg, or giving medications. That's chemical things that they give to help the body fight itself. And we believe in doctors and medicines. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. And so, you know, when there's doctors and nurses that can help us get well, praise God. And we need to do what we can to live to fight on. Amen. And so we are not against the medical field. I believe that we need to be sensitive to God and ask him for if we are to go to the doctor, who to where to go to, because there are doctors that, you know, really want you to get well and do things that help you actually get well. There's some doctors that just, you know, they would rather just put you on medication and operate on you or whatever. And so we need to go to people that will actually help us get well. Amen. And so we have to listen to the Lord and be led of the Lord in exactly what to do. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to treat them with respect. And going to the doctor or taking medicine will not keep you from receiving your healing. The thing that you need to do is whatever you know, you may be going to a doctor or taking medication, or you may be eating to try to correct things wrong in your body, but it's important that our faith stay in the Lord and in not what the doctor's doing or we're doing. We can't look to what we do for ourselves or what the doctors do. We have to keep our trust in the Lord because he's the ultimate healer. Hallelujah. And we have to keep our focus on him. Hallelujah. Divine healing happens in the spirit and affects the natural. Supernatural healing is wrought by the power of God. It's a gift we receive by faith. And faith isn't a mental assent. Faith is a gift of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit. It's in the Spirit. It's through our spirit man that faith activates us receiving healing. The gifts of healing often work together. I have seen it so many times where there's words of knowledge and then healing flows. And also many times discerning of spirits are in operation because there's an evil spirit behind the person's sickness, and you cast out that evil spirit and they're healed. That happened all the time in Jesus' ministry. You can read it over and over again. He rebuked the devil and it left, and that person was healed. And so faith, of course, operates with gifts of healing. Miracles operate with gifts of healing. And so we need all of the gifts of the Spirit working together. Amen. Matthew 17:18, and it was talking about an epileptic child, and it says, and Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Another scripture is Acts 8:7. It says, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And so here, unclean spirits were behind people that were paralyzed or lame. And the unclean spirits left, and the people received their healing. Hallelujah. It's important to focus on the answer, not on the problem. And that's one reason, I mean, different ones of us have been attacked, you know, lately. So we need to turn our focus to the answer, not keep our attention on the problem. In Numbers 21, the Israelites had been in rebellion against God, and snakes came in and were biting the people on the legs and feet, and they were dying. They were deadly snakes. And the Lord told Moses to make a snake and put it on up on a stick, and then when people would look at it, that they would would not die, that it wouldn't hurt them. And they did. They took that snake out, and if the people would look at it on a pole, it wouldn't affect them, that snake bite. And but can you imagine how hard it would be with snakes crawling all around your feet to look up? It would be a difficult thing to obey the Lord and look up if there's snakes crawling all around your feet. You know, you'd want to give your attention to them. And it's the same way with our physical bodies. When we have a problem, and especially a serious problem, our attention's on that problem. And when we need to get it off the problem and look to Jesus, look up. Hallelujah, because that is how we find the healing. Hallelujah. John 3:14 through 15. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Deuteronomy 3:19 says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, both you and your descendants might live. Choosing to look to Jesus will always set us free. We are in a battle, but the battlefield is in our mind and emotions. Where are we going to put our focus in times of trial? Who are we going to look to? Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And as natural human beings, that's a little bit hard because we're used to walking by what we see. And according to what we see, but by our spirit, man, we need to get in the spirit and walk by faith and not by what we see. If Satan can keep us in the sense realm, he will destroy us. But if we keep in the faith realm, we'll put Satan under our feet. We need to seek the healer. It's a matter of focus. Worshiping his greatness changes our focus from our impossibilities to his possibilities. Mark 16, in the Great Commission, we see that all believers, every believer is called to heal the sick. It's something that we're called to do. It says they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's 1 Corinthians 12:9 that we started with says gifts of healing, the same spirit, but it's plural, different gifts of healing. Many times in big revivals where there's healing revivals, different ministers are anointed with different healings. We've seen it down through our life. Calvin was in a meeting in Moctezuma one time in a tent revival, and an evangelist was there, and everybody, just many, many people, were getting their teeth filled. The platinum fillings in their teeth, and it was just all over the place. And the guy called Calvin up to watch, and he watched it happening, their teeth being filled. And then, you know, I could stand for him to come by here. Amen. Bring him over. And but like when you read about the Azusa Street revivals, it's like different people had anointings for different things. And a lot of the people in the revival were young teenagers, like 12 to 16. And one girl was anointed to pray for deaf people. Everybody came in deaf. She'd pray for them and they'd receive their hearing. One girl was anointed for growth, and she would pray for any growth and it would just fall off in her hand. But it was like different ones had particular anointings to pray for certain diseases. And so there are plural gifts of healings and anointings of healings. And so praise God, we're in a body, you know, because we need all of the gifts of healing operating and flowing. I know Bill Johnson's church, Bethel in California, has been in a healing revival for 19 years, and they have so many people healed all the time. But there, healings tend to come in waves, and they will have a season where mental illnesses are healed. They had a whole long time where bipolar was healed, and any kind of mental disorders were just being healed. And most of the time, Down syndrome was healed. Just many different mental things were healed. And most of the time for these healings, it happened just during worship when people were worshiping the Lord. On those, hardly anyone prayed for them, but they was just receiving all over the place. It says worshiping the Lord. And then they had a long season where people that had metal, had broken whatever, and they had metal plates and screws and whatever in their body. God was healing them, and they would go back, and it would be bone. The bone, healthy bone and muscles and tendons and everything would have replaced all the metal. And some of them, the metal was still there, but they just were moving without any pain, and it was like it was just normal. And so God was, you know, God is a miraculous God, but sometimes healing comes in different waves, and just see it. I know when I was growing up, there was a great, I was in my young childhood and teenage, there was a real healing revival all over the place. I know we went to a bunch of Oral Roberts healing campaigns. My parents would plan their vacation over going to an Oral Roberts meeting, wherever he was, and we would just see people come out of wheelchairs, and we had a very close friend that was a neighbor and went to our church, and she had been in a wheelchair, unable to walk at all for like 15 years. And she was prayed for and just totally instantly healed and walked and praised and worked and did gardens and just did all kinds of things after God healed her. My mom had an immediate healing. She had... my dad and her had went to fix a windmill on my granddad's ranch, and my dad was up in the top getting the pipes out of the ground and with a rope and with a tackle and pulley and whatever. Anyway, and my mom was going to put new leathers on the bottom of the, that goes down into the well that helps pump the water. And when she was working, putting these leathers on, a chain broke and a 20-foot pipe, 2-inch pipe, fell on her hand and just crushed it. And they took her to a doctor and a hospital nearby, and the doctor said, your hand has to come off. It's just every bone in your hand is crushed. It needs to be amputated. And she said, no, you will not take my hand off. And he said, well, you will never have any use of that hand. And he said, we'll have to put wires in it for it to even have any shape or anything, and you'll never use it. And so right after that, we went to an Oral Roberts meeting, and my mom was prayed for, and we went back to the hotel that night. She got a pair of scissors and cut through a phone book with that hand. And we went back to her. She went back to her doctor. She didn't say anything. And he said, let me look at your hand. And she put it under a fluoroscope. And he said, quit playing around with me. Put your broken hand under there. She said, that was my broken hand, and God healed it. And Calvin fell out of a tree when he was a little boy, and his leg broke. And his mom came running over, and it was broke, bent broke. And she came on over and prayed for him, and he was just immediately healed. Hallelujah. But we grew up just continually seeing healings flowing, and it was just awesome. Hallelujah. The healing is always God's will for his people, always. It says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I'm come to give life and life more abundantly. So we can find out, well, now, is this from the devil or is this from God? Does it bring life, or does it kill, steal, and destroy? You know, does it hurt us? And so we can see. And so healing's always God's will. But I have seen through the years that where there's great expectancy in the air, and and just revival and expectancy, there's a lot more healings flowing because I guess our spirit's awake. You know, we just begin to receive in the spirit. Hallelujah. And so it's fun to see the Lord move. The healing that Jesus brings is more than spiritual, more than mental, more than physical. His healing is to make us whole, healthy in soul, mind, body, our attitudes, our habits, our way of life. Jesus is a complete deliverer from the hurts and ills of life. Many times sickness enters when there's grief or unforgiveness or disappointment. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And so Jesus wants to heal us and make us whole. I'm going to read Isaiah 53:4-5. It says, and I'm going to read it in the expanded Hebrew version. Verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs, anxiety, calamity, disease, grief, and sickness, and carried our sorrows, anguish, grief, pain, and sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And then verse 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, shalom in the Hebrew, and it means safety, health, prosperity, peace, and wholeness. God wants to make us whole financially. Hallelujah. He wants to make us whole in safety. And it says, it was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed, cured, thoroughly made whole. And it's past tense. 1 Peter 2:24 says, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Healing has already been done in the spirit realm. Hallelujah. And there's different ways to receive healing. Psalms 107:20 says, he sent his word and healed them. When Jesus healed people of their sickness, he was freeing them from the oppression of the devil. Hallelujah. Acts 10:38 says, how God appointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. There's many different ways to minister healing, and laying on hands is one of the ways. Acts 28:8 says, and it happened that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and dysentery. Paul went in to him and prayed, and he laid his hands on him and healed him. And then James 5:14-15 is one we use all the time. It says, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven. And then another way to receive healing is speaking the word. Matthew 8:16, when evening had come, they brought to him, Jesus, many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word. He commanded them to leave. He spoke to those evil spirits and commanded them to leave and healed all who were sick. Mark 3:1-5, And he, Jesus, entered the synagogue again, and a man who was there had a withered hand. So they watched him closely, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. That's the Pharisees. And Jesus said to the man who had the withered hand, "Step forward." Then he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their heart, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. It was by a word. He spoke the word. And the man was healed in his obedience to do what Jesus said. He was healed. And it was a command. Healing and deliverance didn't come by intercession. Healing came by speaking the word, by a command. Hallelujah. If it's a demon spirit, you have to speak to it and command it to leave. you can't argue with it or debate with it or reason with it. You just only way to deal with demons is to command them to leave. And so that's one reason we need the discerning of spirits when we're praying for the sick. Because not always, but a lot of times in the scripture, over and over again, there was a demon spirit tormenting the people is why they were sick. And so in our own lives, when we have attacks come against us, we need to ask, okay, God, what is this? What spirit is behind this? And if there's, if the devil's out to get us, we need to just rebuke him because we have power over him. But we need to know what we're dealing with. Amen. Matthew 15, I'm going to read 22 through 28. It says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries out after us.' But he answered and said, 'I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' Then she came and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, help me. But he answered and said, 'It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.' And she said, 'Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered and said to her, 'O woman, great is it your faith. Let it be to you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed from that very hour." In healing, a lot of time here it says your faith has made you whole. And it says that a number of places in the scripture when it's talking about healing, people's faith, they had faith and they got it, but sometimes you can pray for someone without much faith, but the faith is in the one praying. And so sometimes it can be, our faith sometimes can raise people up. Sometimes it's the person's faith, and sometimes it's both of your faith working together. I remember Leon telling a story that he had went to a house just witnessing. He was going to door to door as God was leading him in a poor neighborhood. And he went to this house, and the Lord says, "Somebody here needs healing." And he went to the door, and a lady came to the door, and he said, "Somebody's sick in this house that needs healing." And she just slammed the door in his face. And so he knocked on the door again. He opened the door. He says, "God told me somebody here needs healing." And she just angry. And she says, "Well, he's back there in the bedroom." He didn't know what bedroom, so he just went in and went back and tried a door. And there was a man in there in bed. And he said, "God sent me to pray for you." And the man says, "Well, I don't have any faith." And he says, "Well, that's okay. I've got faith." And the man pulled the blanket off of his leg, and his whole leg was just full of gangrene, really bad. And they hadn't just given him a little bit to live. And anyway, so Leon says, you know, it just was stinky and awful and looked terrible. And he says, I was just like, he says, so I just prayed and I just turned around to walk out. And he said, I was getting ready to go through the door and the guy screamed, just screamed. And he turned around and looked and that leg was completely whole. It was just a whole well leg. So that man didn't have any faith, but Leon had the faith. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read a prophecy that Chuck Pierce gave. And he said, the Lord says, I want to heal my people from the trauma, from the hurts, from the wounds, from the discouragements, from anything that came upon you in the last season that wants to keep you from going into the new unencumbered. Every dart, every broken, torn place, hope deferred. Remember Proverbs says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Even disease that's worked its way into our flesh because of trauma, because of pain, because of unforgiveness. We release the compassion of Jesus, the very virtue of the Spirit of God that flows from that place of love that transforms and heals. In Jesus' name, we release off you oppression, depression, discouragement, hope deferred, unbelief, fear, rejection, betrayal, and trauma. Amen. Yes, free, free, free. We let it go. We just let it go in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We let it go. We thank you, Lord, that you have come to heal our emotions, to heal our hearts, to heal our souls, to heal our body, to heal our finances, to heal our relationships. You are come to set us free. And we let all of these things go. We give them to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, so that we will be ready to go into the next step and into the new things that you have prepared for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Well, now, if there's testimonies, I would like to do a testimonies, and then I have some decrees about healing that I want us to go over together. Bill, you want to come and give that testimony? Well, Connie's going to do it. Okay. And then if anyone else has a testimony, well, you can share it. Amen.
Well, it happened like 13 years ago. And I only know that because that's when we moved to the home we are in right now. And was Mr. Abbott was the realtor, and he was taking us to look at the home. And so that's why I know how long it's been. And anyhow, when we were over there the other day, he brought it to our attention that, he didn't say how many years ago, he said, I never did get to tell you guys to thank you for praying for me because I was totally healed. And he had to have prostate surgery, and he was 100% healed. And he brought it to our attention, and we didn't even remember that we prayed for him. But thank you, Lord. Totally healed. Glory to God.
Amen. I think that there's a whole lot more of that than we'll ever know, where we prayed for someone and we didn't know they got healed, but they did. And so that's really neat. We have heard the same thing where we've prayed for someone and didn't know until a long time later. And I was healed when you prayed for me. Hallelujah. Anybody else have a testimony? Come on. You can give two or three if you want to while you're here.
Okay. This testimony is of a woman that Melissa and myself and Samantha know real well. Her name's Marion Torres. And I don't remember exactly what year. This is before we were really close to them, but she was basically blind. She couldn't see much more than like a few inches in front of her face. Her and her husband were the ones that took me into the prison in Winslow that I ministered with for years. And she stopped going because she told her husband, I go and all I can see is just a bunch of moving orange. She couldn't even see people's faces. And I can tell you right now, she can see. She can read her Bible. The doctors have said, we don't understand this because macular degeneration is not, your body doesn't heal from that. So she is a living testimony. I saw her on Sunday. I saw her on Friday. This woman sees, and we know she sees. She's like many of you here, she's a woman of extreme faith. She told her, I asked her, I said, well, how did you get your healing? And she said, every day she would pray that the Lord would come and visit her with healing. She said that every day. And even her husband, who was an ordained pastor, said, I just don't know. I just don't know. But she does. She prayed it every day. And one day, she has a son-in-law who has green eyes. And one day they were sitting down at dinner, and this woman said, "Oh, Victor, you just have the most beautiful green eyes." And everyone just stood up and said, "Wait a minute, you're blind. How do you see my green eyes?" She said, "I don't know, but you have beautiful green eyes." And this is true, and healing is for today. So when I started my ministry 4 years ago, I had a person who, not only think he believed in healing, but he gave me a prophecy that I would have a healing ministry. And actually, I've only seen a healing a few times, but deliverance, oh my goodness. When I ask people, how many people want to be delivered of demonic spirits, the hands shoot up. And I believe what Pastor Barbara told us is exactly true. I believe there's a lot of demonic. I believe there's a lot of spiritual content to most illnesses. And my one testimony, I was in Cananea, and I don't remember how long ago. It might have been 9 months ago. But I asked anyone who needed healing, and a young man came up, and he started telling me it wasn't just him, but his family. All these illnesses were somehow entangled in his whole family. So I anointed him with oil and prayed over him, and his body started to shake to the point where I was concerned it was going to be a demonic manifestation, because we've seen that happen where they fall on the ground, they move like snakes. And I couldn't even say the word in Spanish. I just said in English. I just said, "No flippy floppy." That's all I could say. And all of a sudden his body just stopped moving. And he testified in front of everyone. He said, "I got healed." He said, "I could feel it in my body. I just got healed." And so that was my testimony. Sorry.
Hallelujah. Amen. When I was a small child, I had asthma really bad. And I remember being in the car traveling with my parents and just gasping for breath. And I know it concerned my parents, and it was just asthma attacks would come. And I was just a little girl, but I just started saying every day, 3 or 4 times a day, I would say, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me." And I hadn't heard the faith message before, but I would just say, "Thank you, Jesus, for healing me." And then they just stopped and never, ever, ever came back. Hallelujah. And when I was a little girl, I had very, very bad eyesight. In third grade, I got glasses that were so thick, it just made my eyes look buggy. They were so thick. And I was healed immediately from having thick, thick glasses to having 20/20 vision. Hallelujah. So I've seen many God heal. Hallelujah. Anybody else have a testimony?
When you'd mentioned asthma and having a hard time breathing, I remembered from a few years back, I think it was, 4 or 5 years ago. I had shared this before, but I'm not sure everyone has heard who's here tonight. But a couple years back, it had snowed here in town, and I had snow on the bottom of my boots. And kind of long story short, I was in a hurry. I was running late, and I kind of went running through the house into the kitchen. And so on the carpet, I was fine. And as soon as I got to the kitchen, I slipped, and I actually had one of my smaller dogs in my arms. So I didn't think to put my hands back. You know, when you fall, you catch yourself. Well, I had the dog in my arms, so I didn't do any of that. And I slipped so fast and so hard that I landed flat on my head and on my back. And I got the air knocked out of me. I couldn't breathe for what felt like a whole minute. It felt like I was panicking. My eyes had gotten all watery, and I was just laying on the floor. And the only thing that came out of my mouth when I was finally able to catch my breath was "Jesus." And that was the only thing I said. And all of a sudden, I just felt like the air came back into me, and my phone battery was dead, and I was running late for work, and I didn't know what to do. So once I was able to calm down and I was breathing okay, I got up and I started coughing a lot. And all of a sudden I had like the taste of blood in my mouth, and I went to, you know, I went to the sink and I was coughing up blood. And so I got in my car, and the only thing I could think of was to go to Eric and Denise's, because they're just, you know, they're like 5 minutes away from my house. So I went and I told them what happened, and immediately they prayed for me, and they, you know, declared no concussion and no other injuries within my body. And I stayed there for a while, and I was feeling very sleepy, which when you have a concussion, you know, you feel sleepy and you want to go to sleep. And so, you know, the only thing that didn't happen was Denise slapping me around trying to keep me awake. But I was feeling very, very sleepy. And so once I was feeling better, I went home, and for months I had like this really deep soreness within my body whenever I take a breath. It wasn't even a deep breath or anything, but I never went to the doctor, and I just stood on my healing, and after a while it was completely gone, and yeah, no internal injuries whatsoever. So.
Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else have a testimony?
Before I say what I came up here to say, I just wanted to share a testimony of mine. My mom recently shared when Johnny Rolette was here about my back, and some of you have already heard it and some of you may not have. But when I was growing up, I had a lot of back pain. I would have sciatic nerve pain, and if any of you have ever had that before, know that it's very painful. I would get shooting pain and numbness and tingling, like hot tingling, and your legs numb, and just all down the back of my legs. I couldn't stand up for very long periods of time. I would, you know, we would be walking through Walmart, and I would sit down in the aisle, like just, I couldn't, we would be waiting in line places, and I would always find a place to sit. And, you know, sometimes I'd be around people and they wouldn't understand, like, you know, when I would visit my dad and I would sit down, he's like, what are you doing sitting on the floor? Like, I can't stand up. It hurts me. And, they had diagnosed me with scoliosis, with like, you know, curvature of the spine, and it was pinching my nerves. And they had told my mom that we had done MRIs and all kinds of stuff, and they had told her that I would need back surgery. And at the time, they had said that I would need to be in traction for a year and need to relearn to walk and all kinds of stuff. And we didn't accept that diagnosis. And so we came home, and we were new to the faith. We had been, you know, raised Catholic, and we had just been coming here for, I mean, not that long. And Johnny Rolette happened to be here, and he called people up for prayer, and it was a Super Bowl Sunday, and they prayed for me, and God healed me that day. And I have not had, you know, I mean, my back's healed. I can stand up for a long time. And so, you know, like you said, healing is for today. And as you guys know, we have been gone for a couple weeks. It's been hard. It was really hard. I just want to thank you guys for your prayer and support through everything. We know we felt God's favor through it all, through everything. I don't know if anybody had shared with you guys before, but when they were taking us by ambulance, well, Jacob had an issue where he wasn't breathing. The other two kids had been sick with a cold, and I thought maybe he was coming down with it. And my mom called me while I was at work and said that he wasn't breathing and that she had to call 911. And when I got there, he was breathing, and they sent us to the clinic to get checked out, and they ended up, you know, lifelining us to Tucson. But on the way between the clinic and the where the, you know, the airport over there where the helicopter was waiting, the EMTs and everybody was loading us up into the ambulance, and there was a student there, a real nice black man that was a Cochise College EMT student. Did you, anybody share this? All right. Okay. And we're going up up there, up to the airport. I'm sorry, I'm kind of all over the place. But as we were going up there, you know, as a parent, seeing your child going through something there in front of you, and, you know, it's, we know faith and we know the word and we know all that. And it was just a little bit different seeing your child going through it. And I was, you know, shaken and trying to think of the scriptures that I knew and just praying. And I could, he was sitting next to me, and you guys, you know, most of you probably know what I'm talking about. There was just, I just felt good sitting next to him. And I didn't know him. I didn't know him at all. And he was just there, and he was just like, you know, rubbing Jacob's head. And I could hear him like saying things, and I could see his lips moving. And I knew instantly he's praying for him. And, sorry, it's been rough. But I asked him, and I said, are you praying for him? Are you praying in tongues? And he said, yeah. No, he asked me. We're driving up there, and he said, can I pray for you guys? And I said, yes, please, I need it, I need it. And he prayed for us, and I asked him, I said, were you praying in tongues right now? And he said, he kind of got a little bit embarrassed, and he was like, yeah. And I said, you know, I knew it. I knew you were praying in tongues, and I could feel it. I said, thank you for being obedient and for praying with us. I really needed it. My husband and I, you know, we're associate pastors at our church, but I needed it right now. And he's like very, you know, nonchalantly just like, well, that's what we do, right? And I'm like, yeah, you're right. And so we had favor there. And then in the helicopter, they were awesome nurses that were taking care of us. And when we got to the hospital in Tucson, Jacob had had a couple big episodes with my mom at the house where he wasn't breathing and he turned blue and totally limp and pretty much lifeless. And when we got to the ER, as we were going in the door, he had another one of those episodes, and all the nurses and the doctors and everybody rushed him into the room, and you see them like working on him and trying to get him to breathe again. And, you know, just the favor that we made it there and were with them at that moment, to me, was like, you know, thank you, God, that it happened the way that it did. And even with, you know, they were trying to get his IV in, and none of the nurses could get it. I mean, getting an IV in a baby isn't the easiest thing, and they couldn't get it. And they told me, they said, if we can't get it, we have to do an interosteal access, which is basically they punch a hole in the bone and go through your bone that way. And of course, that wasn't something that you would want, and I didn't want it. And so I just started praying. I said, you know, God, help them, help them. And on their last try, they got it, and they didn't have to do that. And just through everything, we felt his favor and felt all the prayers. And I mean, he's here. He's doing better and better. Today we had a follow-up appointment at the Chiricahua Pediatric Center here. And the doctor was talking to me, and she asked me if they had talked to me about his, if they had said anything about his chest x-rays and things that they did for him. And I said nothing other than, you know, they had diagnosed him with pneumonia when we were there at the hospital because they had seen all the haziness. And she said that in the top of his right lung that they saw a small cyst in his lung. And she said that those can happen, you know, as babies develop and whatever, that it's at, you know, at this time they didn't really think anything of it. But in a couple months we'll need more chest x-rays to see if it's still there. When he was born, both of his thumbs, one of his thumb right here at the top has a little crooked joint, and then his other thumb, they think that the bone hasn't completely attached to his hand, so it moves a little bit, but it's not very strong and it's kind of weak. Both of his wrists on his arms turn in a little bit, and it's called radial dysplasia. And so when we were in the hospital, they did all kinds of tests, and they did EKGs and different, they did a, you know, CT scan and all kinds of stuff to see if he had any other abnormalities. And at that time, they said that he didn't. But we know what the word says and what God's will is. And so I just wanted to together to just, I know that that cyst is nothing. And when they do x-rays again, it won't be there. It's just been a long couple weeks, and we need just to, you know, I needed you guys, and to come here tonight, I needed to come, and then for you to be talking about healing today, I needed it today. And so I know that as the elders gather together and we lay hands, we know what the word is and the expectancy, and we've just been so hungry for God in his presence, and I know that this will just be another healing example. A couple months from now, we'll be able to testify that that cyst is completely gone and his bones and everything are completely straight. And so we've been standing on that, and I just felt tonight like we needed to share that so that way we could just together stand on his wholeness and his healing, and he is perfect. The awesome part, my dad, who's kind of new to faith and believing, and yesterday he was at our house, and he told me, you know, he doesn't really know, like, church lingo, and, you know, how we kind of have our own way that we talk about stuff, and all of a sudden he was telling me and my mom, he's like, hey, last night I had a vision, and I don't know what it really was. I don't remember all of it, but all I know is I saw Jacob doing something with his hands. He's going to grow up and he's going to do something with his hands. And I don't know if it was playing the trumpet or an instrument or doing something, but I needed to tell you guys that it was a vision or something, but I saw him doing something with his hands. And coming from a person who's not really connected, it was like, yes, we needed that. And then to hear this tonight, now we needed that. So, yeah. I'm done.
About 4 o'clock, I was in the shower, and you know that's where we get most of our revelations, or I do. And I just felt like the way I heard it was that the elders should pray for the baby. And from 4 o'clock on, then I kept thinking, well, I need to call Nina and see, you know, how they're doing and see if they're coming tonight. And I nearly picked up the phone several times, and I got to church about a little before 6, and I went in the office to call, and every time I try to pick up the phone, it's like I could hear, well, they'll come, just relax, they'll be here, just relax, they'll be here, well, you're here. But what I heard from the Spirit at 4 o'clock was that the elders needed to pray for the baby, and just we're all going to join our faith together to seal this healing, to let it be complete and let it be sealed, let it be finished up. So let's just do that right now. And by elders, I mean ministers of maturity. So you that feel like you're a minister of maturity, you could be 13 years old and be a minister of maturity. If you've seen God move, if you believe in the moving of God, you can be an elder in that sense. And so just come on up, and we're going to lay hands on that boy. And we're going to believe that God's done a great work, and the work will be completed and finished. When she started talking about his hands, I just saw him playing that keyboard and the guitar and all kinds of stuff. He's got a future in music, amen? Let's just pray.